Hey, Elevation Mandra, praise God for you guys. Bonnie and I just love you. We're so blown away with all that God is doing at our Mandra location. Easter just blew everyone away, right? An amazing move of God, lives that were being changed. I was so honored and so thankful for the baptisms, that outward declaration, the public stand of following Christ. And I want to honor Cain, Leah, David, and Christine, who made a decision on the morning. Praise God for you guys. Can we give him some glory and some honor and say, God, keep moving. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep building your church for your kingdom, for your glory. I also want to give a shout out to our great location pastors, Marty and Rachel, away on holidays in Singapore. It's so good that we can give them a break. And I know you know this, but I believe it's worth saying, we're so blessed to have such capable, godly pastors in our lives, leading our church. I know Bonnie and I are better for it as we spend life and lead our churches together with Marty and Rach. Just amazing people of integrity, of honor, of character. Great family, great marriage, amazing children. We honor them. We just praise God for them. And I can't wait personally to come on over and spend some time with you guys later in the year. I got a trip booked in. I might be taking my board for some board meetings. I'm locking those in. We just love Mandra. I think you guys live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. And we can sometimes forget how good it is, but let me tell you, it is amazing. Pristine countryside, it's raw, the ocean. You are so blessed to be in Mandra, and I can't wait to come over and see you guys. Today we continue our series, Sermon of the Mount, and it's a blueprint for life. This is a practical, day-to-day preach that Jesus gave in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 about how do we live our life. It's actually very personal to me. When I was 15, I got saved and then I jumped into a life group. And it was 1985, and I remember wearing my yellow corduroy pants and a yellow corduroy jacket every week, riding my bike on Wednesday night to this life group. Why do I remember that? Because we actually studied the Sermon of the Mount for a year. And I can't tell you what a message was preached at church. Can't even tell you what I preached last week. But 38 years ago, I remember what we studied in life group. That's how powerful the Sermon of the Mount was in my life. As a 15-year-old, I had no idea the Bible could apply to my daily life. And it was life-changing. And then 5 years ago, we went through Jerusalem. And we went to where the sermon was preached. It's called the Mount of Beatitudes down by the Sea of Galilee. And here's some photos of us walking through this area. It was so surreal to be physically where Jesus taught, where he unpacked this kingdom principles of the Sermon of the Mount to thousands of people. And we were sitting and watching, and just it was so powerful spiritually for us. So it's with great passion, great change in my heart that I want to bring this message today where Jesus talks 10 verses on worry. Yeah, he teaches us, do not worry. We're going to unpack that together and learn from this great preach from Jesus. How do we apply that into our lives? But first, let's pray. Father, I ask that you would speak to us through your holy word. I love your scripture. It's so relevant to us, written thousands of years ago, but it changes us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us have ears to hear. Let us have eyes to see the ways of the Lord. Let us learn. Let us be changed by your spirit, by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder today, is anyone dealing with worry? Is there something that you're worried about right now, in this moment? Maybe you're worried about your children, worried about their future, worried about their job situation, Maybe you're worried about finances, the pressure of life and the cost of living. Maybe you're worried about your studies or your career. You're worried about the security in your job. Maybe you're worried about a lawsuit or an immigration issue, or you're worried about a family member. Maybe you're worried about hearing back from a doctor on a health issue. Maybe you're worried about the world, the wars that are happening. Let's all be honest, there is so many things we can easily get caught up and worry about. And there's no shortage in life of things to worry. And if I'm really honest today, I can struggle with this thing called worry. And let me unpack it how it works for me, because I'm hoping this might help you. I struggle with worry because there's so many things going on that I'm concerned about. But worry actually doesn't help the situation. Let me give an example. So I typically worry in groups of three. And I'll pick three things and I'll worry about them constantly. Let me give you an example. Maybe it's the nuclear weapons of mass destruction with Russia and Ukraine. I worry about that. And so I worry about that. And then there's typically something that I'm worrying about my kids. I got five kids, there's plenty to worry about. Jobs or friendships or being in the right crowd or church or their faith or applying for different roles and careers. So I'm usually worrying about something. And then there's always church. I'm worrying about you. I'm worrying about our future. I'm always worrying about someone that might be hurting or suffering. So here's how it works. I've got these three things. So I'll go nukes, kids, church. You know, and I'll rotate these three worries in a cycle like a treadmill. And the only way I can change it is to replace one of them. So I'm like, oh, the nukes, you know, I've got to stop doing. So then I'll replace it. I'll say, oh, I worry about Israel. And, you know, I worry about the Palestine. I worry about God. You know, so it's this total, this constant group of worries in my mind. I don't know what it's like for you. Maybe you just sit at night and think. Maybe look at the sky or the ceiling. Maybe it just grips you and you can't even move or do anything. The worry just crowds down upon you, sucks the life out of you. Jesus talks a lot about how to deal with worry. And the reason why this is such an issue for all of us is we're all good at it. We're all good at it. Why are we so good at it? Because we're born with this sin nature and we're born with this fleshly desire for fear, for worry. And it's natural with our physical bodies, with our flesh nature to worry. That's why we're good at it. And we automatically go to worry because we are sinners. But in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus actually comes and says, do not worry. You see, the Sermon of the Mount is Jesus teaching there's a whole nother way to live. There's a whole higher way to live. It's called the kingdom of God. And worry reveals where we focus and where we're living. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, you've got to ask yourself, why is it therefore? Why is there a therefore? And usually you have to go back to the verse beforehand to get the context. And so let's back up to verse 24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Well, what's the point Jesus is making? At the heart of worry is a trust issue. At the heart of worry, you ask yourself, who is your master? And Jesus was backing up and he's saying, you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one. And worry is an indication that you're not trusting God. Let me say that again. Worry is an indication that you're not trusting God. Now, that may be a challenge for all of us, but it's true. So 3 points today about worry that Jesus brought through the Sermon of the Mount. Number one is worry reveals a lack of trust. Craig Rochelle says it this way, what you worry about the most shows where you trust God the least. And Jesus is saying, don't worry. He continues on to say, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or about your body or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? So worry shows us what we're focusing on. Worry shows us where we're living. And 2,000 years ago, as Jesus was teaching this, back then is the same as today. We can get caught up in this world. We can get caught up in this earthly world where God is trying to get us not to be earthly, but to be heavenly. Not to be earthly focused, but to be kingdom centered. 1 John 2:16, the Bible says, for the world offers only a craving for this physical pleasures, a craving for everything we see, and the pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. The message that Jesus is teaching is actually revolutionary. He's telling the people, don't live for this world. Don't live for just food and drink and your body. Don't trust in this world. Don't trust in finances or government or your job. Don't trust in yourself. No, 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 trust in me. I have another way. It's called the kingdom of God. Most people only focus on the things of this world. That's why we worry about the things. Jesus is saying, hang on, I want you to focus on the kingdom of God. What about you today? Are you just focused on life, going through the 9-to-5, getting through the issues, survival mode? Or are you trusting in God to say there's another way to live, where God can intervene, God can move, that there's a higher life? It's called the kingdom of God. When I'm Bonnie-minded, my marriage flourishes. Come on, if someone can say amen with me. When I'm Bonnie-minded, what am I doing? I'm making the coffee, I'm cleaning the kitchen, I'm thinking about her day, I'm checking in with her. When I'm Bonnie-minded, the marriage flourishes. It's the same with God. When we're kingdom-minded, our relationship with God flourishes. But so often we're not kingdom-minded. We're so caught up with the things of this world, it prevents us to see the things of God. Jesus shows us how not to worry. In verse 26, he says, looks at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more valuable than they? So birds don't worry, but they do work. If a bird's hungry, you can flap those little wings, man. They're soaring, they're working hard. They're going out after the worm. There's a huge difference between a godly sense of responsibility and ungodly worry. However, an ungodly sense of worry usually masquerades as responsibility. I know that's very deep. That you could think about that verse or that point for hours. But basically what it's saying is, worry, we think we're actually doing something. But worry is not actually doing anything. The New Living Translation commentary says, here is the difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes you, but concern moves you to action. So if we have a health issue, we have a concern, we move to action. What do? We pray. We seek God. We get godly counsel. We go see a GP. We get a doctor. We look at our physical fitness, our health. Worry doesn't do anything. Well, worry just gets stuck on the couch and doesn't go anywhere. If you have financial issues, make a financial plan. See someone that can help you with your debt. Cut some expenses. Increase some income. Maybe you got a problem with your marriage. Get some counsel. Focus on each other. Pray. Seek God. Fast. Pray. There's lots we can do. So Jesus isn't saying, hey, don't do anything. He's saying, don't worry, because worry doesn't do anything. When we trust God, we're actually moved to action. When we trust God, we allow God to intervene and to move in our affairs. Yet when we worry, we actually cut God out of the picture. We're saying, oh, I can do it on my own. And we're shutting down the ability for God to supernaturally move and do something in our life. We're actually cut him out of his desire, which is to help us. Jesus says, don't worry, because we can't serve two masters. First thought is, worry reveals a lack of trust. Then Jesus says in Matthew 6:26, are you not more valuable than they are, more valuable than the birds? The second thought is, worry reveals a lack of value. The reason many people worry is because we don't feel valued before our God. We think he'll take care of everyone else, but we don't think, oh, he's got time to take care of us. It's a self-worth issue. We don't understand who we are in Christ, but the Bible is crystal clear. You are loved. You matter. You are important. The little things of your life matter to our God. He just doesn't want you to worry about it. He wants you to trust him in it. He wants you to see that he's a good God, a loving Father who's caring and wants to move in your life. In Matthew 6:27, Jesus continues, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Nothing happens when you worry. It's a complete waste of time. And what's worse is worry has shown that it increases stress, increases anxiety, which actually has a consequence of poor health, can reduce your lifespan. So not only does worry not do anything for the issue you're facing, it actually makes your life worse. And Jesus is saying that, hang on, I don't want you to worry. I care about you. I love you. I know what you're facing. I've been through it. I'm there for you. There may be greater sins than worry, but there are no more self-defeating ones that are as useless as worry. In Matthew 6:30, Jesus continues, and if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here one day and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Instead of worrying, remind yourself who you are. You're a child of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're the apple of his eye. You're the head, not the tail. Instead of worrying, start realizing who you are. A study has actually been done where 91% of the things people worry about don't even come true. It's crazy to me. 91% of the things that people worry about don't come true. But God loves you. He is with you. And even if they do come true, God will carry you. He won't abandon you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Number one, worry reveals a lack of trust. Number two, worry reveals a lack of value. And then in verse 30, Jesus says, why do you have so little faith? The third point is worry reveals a lack of faith. Now, worry drags us down into this earthly life, which is full of limitations, scarcity, lack, inadequacy. What faith does, it lifts you out of your problems and allows you to believe for the impossible. It allows you to see the endless provision through our Almighty God who can do anything. It allows the supernatural power of God, signs and wonders to move. See, what worry does, it keeps you in your mind and your physical limitations. What faith does, it takes you out through your spirit to connect with God and to believe for the supernatural to move in your life. We are taught in Scripture to live by faith. We live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith, not by sight. I think worry is the biggest destroyer of faith. Worry erodes faith. Worry removes faith because worry causes you to see your problems or the situations, whereas faith allows you to see your God. Faith allows you to see the promises of God. Faith allows you to see the power in God. And what happens when we're stuck in this mindset of worry? We limit God because we're only looking and thinking about our problems. Then we start to speak them. Oh, we speak our problems at work. Oh, we speak our problems with our health. Oh, we speak our problems with the church. Oh, we speak our problems with our marriage. So not only does worry lock us down in our minds of limitation on this earth, then we speak these words of negativity and those then come to pass. So worry is actually a very powerful evil that the enemy uses to rid believers of this thing called faith. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." So faith doesn't mean your problem goes away. Faith is seeing past your problem to the goodness and the power of God. Let's continue on with what Jesus says in verse 31. "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of the unbeliever." They do not dominate the thoughts of the believer, just the unbeliever. "But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He'll give you everything you need." Here's the great promise. When we seek the kingdom of God, when we live by faith, we're promised heavenly treasures, rest in divine provision, purpose on earth, fellowship with our Lord. Jesus didn't just say, stop worrying. He told them through this preach to replace the worry with a concern for the kingdom of God. A habit can only be given up by another habit. See, most people say, I'll just stop worrying, I'll stop worrying. No, no, you've got to replace the worry with something. So instead of worrying about your problems, replace those thoughts with seeking God. Replace those thoughts with prayer. Replace those thoughts with the promises in God's word. We don't stop worrying. What we do is we replace them with the things of God. Let's get practical in these last few moments. When we are faced with worry, we've got two options. We can go to worry or go to God. So let's give an example. Say you're worried about work. You've got a difficult boss and you're not sure about your employment and you're not happy there. And so typically what you do is you worry, okay? Over and over in your mind, man, my job is no good. You know, they don't like me. My boss is taking advantage of me and I don't think I'll ever get out of this job. And, you know, it's terrible. And so this worry causes you to get stuck in this mindset of negativity. And what happens is you build this narrative up that's probably bigger than it really is. Oh, that person, they hate me at the office. Well, they probably just had a bad day. Well, they didn't get me a coffee, you know, when they got someone else a coffee. Well, they didn't know you were here. And so we build this narrative in our mind through worry that makes the situation far worse than it really is. And then we speak it out. And so then we actually become what we think. And there's this whole negative cycle. That's what worry does. It's evil. It's deadly. Don't do it. Jesus said, don't do it. Well, what do? We go to God. So rather than go to God, worry, we go to God. First thing we do is we go to God in prayer. Father, help me with my job. Father, I pray for my boss. Father, I'm struggling, but I pray you would show me the way. Help me to understand how I can grow in this difficult time. God, help me to get some godly counsel. Maybe I need some upskilling or some training. Maybe I need to have a chat to the boss. Maybe I need to book an appointment. Maybe I need to bless someone at the office. Maybe I need to pray and fast over this situation. Maybe I need to be generous and bring a coffee and shout everyone a meal. God, I pray you'll show me. Give me the ears to hear. Give me the eyes to see. God, you brought me here for a purpose. God, you're bigger and greater than this situation. God, I know through you I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See how it changes? Instead of living in this negativity and worry and pain and confessing, you actually raise yourself out of the problem by faith, by going to God in prayer and declaring, and suddenly you change. Suddenly the circumstance change. Suddenly God can move on your behalf. When you worry, God can't move. Imagine, across all our elevation locations, that we get this concept of worry right, that we stop worrying and we replace it with prayer. that at Elevation, we become men and women of God and of faith, men and women who trust in their Lord, men and women who know their value in Christ, and that we go to God in all situations. We live by faith, not by sight, that we start to pray, we start to believe, we start to declare, we hang on the promises for our children, we believe in the promises for our marriages and the future. Imagine how it would change our lives. Imagine how it would change our worlds. I'll finish with this verse, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. We are in this world, not of this world. We don't copy the customs of worry and stress and anxiety and freaking out. What do? But we let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. We change the way we think. We don't think of worry and the things of this world, but we live out of our spirit. We live out of faith. We live out of the promises, the word of God. When we pray, when we see God, Jesus came to give us a higher way to live. It's called the kingdom of God. The whole Sermon of the Mount is taking us out of our natural world and our natural flesh and our natural ways and taking us to the things of God, the ways of God, the kingdom of God. Then we will learn to know God's will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Father, I pray today by the power of your word, we would be transformed by the way we think. We would see this scripture is for us today to apply into our lives. That we wouldn't be men and women of worry, but we would be men and women of God who live by faith. That we would learn to trust you. We would learn to see our value in you. We would learn to live by faith, not by sight. Father, I thank you that this can transform us, this teaching. It's so powerful. It can change our circumstances, our families, and our world. We ask for your power supernaturally to help us live this out, to be disciplined, to replace those thoughts of worry with thoughts of God. We pray in Jesus' name. While we're still praying today with eyes closed and heads bowed, maybe you didn't know there was an option not to worry. Because we're all born to worry with what we call a sin nature. And that's why Jesus came to die and rose again on the third day so we could be forgiven, but more than that, so we could be a new person. So we don't have to be living in this world of pressure and worry, but God can intervene and forgive us and change us. And maybe today you need to make that decision to trust God with your life, to surrender your life. You've been trying to do it your own way. You've been trying to fix your own problems. And you say, I can't. I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. Yes, it cannot be done without Christ. Christ is the only way that worry can be taken away. Because it's only through the ways of the Lord can worry be replaced. And that's why you're here today. With all of our locations, all across our rooms, with eyes closed and heads bowed, you want Jesus to be your Savior. With just me and a few others in the church looking around, if that's you, raise your hand. Say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord, my Savior. I want to be saved. I want to know Him. I don't want to have to worry. I want to rise above worry. I want to fulfill my destiny. I choose today in Jesus' name. Let's all pray. Father, let's pray after me. Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I want to overcome worry. And that can only happen through the Spirit of God. I accept you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Can we celebrate today the goodness of our God?